Hey guys, it's Malls. Thanks so much for listening to Please Advise. Just a quick message before the show. Don't forget to subscribe in iTunes. It's super helpful for us and super helpful for you. You can also call 323-450-7408 to get your calls on the show. Again, 323-450-7408. Or email askpleaseadvise@gmail.com with your voice notes or emails. Thanks so much. Hey guys, it's Malls. Welcome to episode 147 of Please Advise. How you doing? Okay, so today, I mean, you guys know I'm a big Tinder advocate, right? I like love Tinder. I'm telling everyone to get on it. I'm telling you how to use it, all the ways you're using it wrong. I have a lot of theories. And our guest today is someone who hosts a show in New York called Tinder Live, which I'm sure you have heard about before. It's a very, like, pretty well-known show. She did it here in LA the other night, and I'll get to the reason why I didn't make it. But hi, Lane Moore, how you doing?
I'm doing well. I'm glad to be here. This is fun.
I'm so excited to have you.
Yes, yes.
So tell me about your show. Like, you're touring right now?
Yeah, I am touring the country and then soon, like, internationally, which will be interesting to see
really?
How international Tinder is like. I'm sure it's the same as here.
I've heard it's great. Right. I mean, one of the first things when I first signed up for it was a girlfriend of mine said to me, like, make sure if you're traveling, you turn your Tinder on. She's like, we wound up meeting these amazing guys that, like, drove us all around London.
And, oh,
like,
God.
They just, like, toured us around, basically. Like. And we're like, wonderful.
If that's what it's going to be like, I'm so excited.
Yeah. I mean, internationally.
It's a little bit better than what I've experienced here so far. Yeah.
Yeah. So wait. So what inspired you to do this show? Have you been on Tinder for a long time?
So I started the show almost 4 years ago. And I literally started it the second I got on Tinder, like the second that I got on, because I signed up for Tinder because both my roommates were on Tinder at the exact same time at the dinner table together.
Okay.
And I didn't even realize they were. And I was like, okay, this is like reached like peak, like critical mass. Like, that's insane. And so I was like, well, what the hell is this? And so I downloaded Tinder. And the second I got on, I was like, oh, this is really funny. And I've got a lot of jokes about this. And so, like, I took my laptop out and, like, set it down and, you know, asked if they'd be cool with me recording us going on Tinder together and talking about it and edited a video together and, like, put it on YouTube. And, like, it's still on YouTube. It's out there. And I was just, like, immediately after I did the video, I was like, this could be a live comedy show. I could, like, have it on a projection screen and, like,
yeah.
Could have, like, a panel. And it's, like, this – people will feel less alone. And it'll be this, like, bonding thing but really funny and, like, Mystery Science Theater but with Tinder. And it'll be great. And – literally that night, like, came up with the show format and pitched it to venues. It was just like I signed up for Tinder and, like, my whole world broke up and it was great.
Yeah. So you've been doing it at UCB, right, in New York for a while? No, wait.
No, I do it at Littlefield every
Why
month
did
right
I think
now.
UCB?
I don't know. It's okay.
Just made that
it's
up.
Fine. I do stuff at UCB, but yeah, not that show. Yeah.
Okay. But you've been doing the show for how long?
Almost 4 years.
Wow.
Yeah, a long time.
So I love Tinder. I think it's a great – I think it's a great tool for all sorts of things. I've met – boyfriends through Tinder. I met friends through Tinder. The other night I was supposed to go to your show. I bought tickets and was, like, texted my friend about it who I met on Tinder. And it turns out that, like, he and I have a lot in common. We have a lot of friends in common. And normally I don't like that. I don't being Googled. I don't like it when someone does, like, the cross reference,
same.
Like, sort of thing. I think it's taking advantage of the app, to be honest, because I'm like, look, just because, like, I have Facebook to be on this and we have a mutual, it doesn't mean that you should go to that mutual and be like, hey, guess who I matched with on Tinder? Like,
yeah,
like, I think that's so weird.
I think it makes more sense for women to do that because, like, a potential predator shit, you know what I mean?
Well, that's why you meet them in public.
For sure, but sometimes you want to save yourself the... I guess I'm saying I think it makes a little less sense for a guy to do that to a woman.
Yeah.
I guess is all I'm saying.
Yeah, no.
Like,
go
with
guys,
women,
yeah.
it's like, is this guy a piece of shit? Should I not even waste my time with him?
Is more what I mean. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, well, you could find that on your own, but sometimes, I don't know, I'm busy, I'm tired.
I, like, went on
a
date with a guy who showed up, like, super late, and he was obviously on coke, and, like, his job was, like, making stuff out of neon statues. And I was like, wow. And, you know, I kind of said to him, I'm like, look, I know you're on coke. It's fine.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, you know, this is I'm happy to sit here and have a conversation with you. Like, this isn't going to go anywhere else. But I find as a writer, like, it's like just you never, especially in LA, you don't get
thing.
To meet people a lot. And
yeah.
I think that, like, as a writer, I just love to be with random ass people.
I do, too. I struggle with that part of my personality, though, because I don't love it. Like, I don't like how much I'll indulge things because I'm a writer and comedian, then there's something about that that's really interesting to me, because sometimes I just need to go the fuck home and like, this isn't that good for me. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, that's not a great trait, because then like at the end of the night, I'm like, what? I just spent 4 hours talking to this person who like, I don't think I ever want to talk to again, just because I could see a way that it was funny. Like sometimes you're really kind of turning lemons into lemonade when like you could just leave the fucking lemons on the ground and like go home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like, yeah,
drink, I mean, there's lemonade. That. I'm not judging it. I'm just saying, like, it's, I struggle with it because I do that same shit where I'm like, oh, yeah, I'll dive into this crazy shit. And I'm like, Lane, you don't need to do that.
I think
really.
the areas of life I more do that with are like how I'm really good friends with my flight attendant, Tommy from JetBlue. Hi, Tommy, if you're listening. But like, I definitely like collect people randomly. But this guy,
same, yeah,
is really great. His name's August. And we have a million friends in common, but also like a commonality of just like the internet and just random stuff, right? We're both writers, and he's turned out to be like a really good friend to me. And like very early on in like us meeting, I was like, yeah, I can't like date. Like I can't, like I said, I don't even know why I'm on Tinder. Like I'm not in a place in my life where I want to be dating. I am like working through too much stuff, but I am in a place in my life where I do think that like I'm old enough to know that like if you're not in a position to attract the right people, you're not going to attract the right people.
For sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And yeah. So I've been like good at like cutting people off at the past sort of on terms of the relationship. Oh, wait, this is my cleaning lady. I was wondering if she has my new dress that I bought.
Yeah, go for it.
No. Okay. Sorry. I give Martha tons of clothes like all the time. Yeah. And I just cleaned out my closet. Like we're down to nothing here.
Yeah.
There's this like $500 dress that I just bought and I can't find it.
Oh, no.
And like I haven't thankfully dropped anything off to Crossroads yet. But yeah, like I don't – there's – as you see, there's four rooms in this house.
Yeah.
Where could it be?
Yeah. I don't – no idea.
I have no over idea. There? No.
I mean, you probably
that's
checked
my chair
everywhere.
That broke when I sat down on it today. It was like a cartoon. Like I was like, it. I bought these. Like I just bought these off Etsy. I have to like write the lady a thing and be like, dude, your chair broke in half the second I sat on it.
Seriously, that's intense. It's a cute chair. That's a shame.
I know. I mean, its twin is here, but I don't trust her either.
No, I don't blame you.
So I have been like severely depressed lately, not to brag, and I have just been like sleeping my days away. And if I like, unless I have like a work thing, and even then it's just like I kind of like, oh, like plug in my mic and do what I have to do and then see where it goes from there. So I fucked up the dates, and I thought for some reason the show was the next day, but I had slept for so long it was the next day. And so August texts me from outside the venue. He's like, hey, I've just been like hanging out here, like, and it's like 30 minutes into your show already.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, oh, fuck. And I, like, get to text, yeah, and I'm like, dude, yo, like, I don't normally do this. I'm blowing you off right now by accident. Like, yeah. I'm in Glendale. Like, there's no way I'll make it.
Right, for sure. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, no, he's, like, the nicest guy. And he was here last night. And I had taken my sleep meds, like, right before bed. And we don't even hook up. Like, it's just, like, we're very comfortable friends very quickly.
Yeah.
To the point where last night he forcibly took a piece of cheesecake from my hands because I wouldn't stop eating it, like, as I was about to fall asleep. And he was like, yeah, Molly, this is why that kind of you can't which have this. Very specific, yeah, it's
type
like very,
of friendship. Yeah.
It's me blowing you
cheesecake
off,
removal.
You taking a piece of cheesecake from me because I won't stop eating it as I'm about to fall asleep.
Yeah.
But, like, you know, I'm sure you get asked this all the time. What's, sure, like, your worst Tinder date ever?
Oh, so you mean. It's like everybody, I don't, okay, all right, okay, yeah, okay, I got it. I do get asked that every time, and the only reason that I, like, hesitate and wait, because it's like, I've had some really, like, fucked up things happen on online dates, and it's like, I know that's not the answer people want. I know people want the, like, he had a balloon for an arm, or I don't know what, yeah, that even means, but it's like, I know they want, like, the wacky one, and it's like, you know, I don't know. I also try to acknowledge more that it's just, like, online dating can be dangerous. It's, like, obviously I do a comedy show about it, so I'm not trying to, like, bum everybody out. But it's just, like, it can be weird. And
yeah.
But, you know, I would say my worst date was, like, fucked up. But it was, like, I really did feel like shit afterwards. It was basically this guy who, like, just, like, kept talking about how, like, white people have people who are racist against them. And I was like, that's not a thing. And then he, like, started talking, like, he said some, like, transphobic stuff and just, like, a lot of misogynist stuff. And then, like, there were these two dudes who were sitting next to us, and they kind of like decided to join in and talk about the times that they'd felt that people didn't like them just because they were white. And I was like, what room am I in? What, how did I get into this hole? And it was just like, I just felt like it was just me against like these dudes like ganging up on you and stuff that like didn't yeah. make any logical sense at all. And they were just like really hateful. And all of a sudden I'm like, I felt like I was on a date with four guys who like all hated women. And I was like, yeah. this is fun. This is fun to navigate. And I wish I could have just left. Like, that's something I'm not great at. And that's why, like, I've had to be like, I'm going to have to curb as much dating. Not that I do like a ton, but like, until I can figure out how to like really set boundaries. Cause
oh,
I want
to call
you know
an
what
Uber.
I mean?
And I see like my Uber's on its way. Like, I'm sorry. Like,
I wish I could do that. Yeah. I just get so frozen in when it's that bad. And I just like try to make it better, or I try to fight my way through it, or I try to. I don't know. I just, I'm not, it's a, you know,
well,
it's a response
that, like,
my brain has.
What you just, the date you just described is something that we've talked about this before on the show too, is that like, it can be really hard when someone's like being racist or transphobic or whatever. Like, it's such shocking behavior to so many of us that it's like, I don't know how to respond to that. Like, what am I supposed to say to that? Like, you know, and like, it's hard to sometimes in the moment, say what you want to say.
Well, but even then it's like, I go back and forth between like, I could say what I want to say, but like, this isn't my responsibility. Why am I now stuck in a bar with somebody and I have to educate them about like basic human decency and how like they're hateful? Like, it's just like, you reach a point where you're just like, wait, why is this now my like, I'm tasked with like doing this emotional labor for this dude who's going to leave here with the same opinions he came in with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And so it's like, what's the point of any of this? So,
I mean,
you know, usually it's not anything near that bad, but like that was definitely, I definitely came home and like tweeted about it and was like, I'm really shaken. And one of my friends was like, yeah, that's like, it was just a lot of things that they said. They said some darker stuff too that it's like, I won't even go into, but it was just like really just the most problematic views.
Yeah.
And having the other two dudes there too was just like,
let me chime in.
I was like, no, because I just felt like, oh God, I have no one on my side in this room.
Yeah.
I think I was the only woman in the bar too. It was just like a really.
And this is in New York City where you don't think, like, yeah. I think people don't naturally assume that a conversation like that is happening.
You hope it's not. Yeah, but you know it is.
Yeah.
Because it's the world.
But, you know, oh God, what was I going to say, Miles? You had a point. You were going to say something.
You were really upset about something.
Oh, no, I'm not really upset. I just have noticed that, like, I keep, like, aging up a little bit where it's like, okay, like, I went out with, like, a 39-year-old recently who, like, kept saying, like, I'm, like, so intimidated that you have a house and, like, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, dude, you're 39. Like,
yeah.
You're a fucking adult. And, like, to see, like, how boyish she was really freaked me out.
Yeah.
And I just have noticed that, like, I don't know. It's like they're, like, fucking, there's like the mosquito in Jurassic Park, like they're just there, they're stuck, like they're totally stuck and then allowed to be there and then applauded for it. And it's like so weird. I don't know what it is, because like when chicks act like that, like once you reach a certain age, I'm 33, like if I was acting like a 22-year-old, I think people would be quite disturbed by me.
Yeah, well, and it's also like I met this guy who he was he's in his like late 30s and he was trying to tell me that my problem was that like I needed to date older men. And I literally don't agree that there's like one specific age, because I don't think that that's true, because I mean, and your example is a perfect one of that. It's not like, oh, boom, you're 39, man, you really have your shit together. Like that's not,
yeah.
Of course that's not. It used to be that that type of thing was true, but it also used to be that, you know, you were like married with kids at fucking 24.
Yeah.
So, but I will say, I did ask this guy, and I don't think he'd mind me saying this because whatever, I said it to his face. But I was like, wait, so why are you single? Because like, you're an older guy, you're the exact target range that you're telling me to date, but like, you're super single. And he was like, oh yeah, like, you know, I don't have a lot of like ambition and I can't really get my shit together. And I'm like, so then again, remind me again why you're the magical age I should
yeah,
be shooting
yeah,
for.
Yeah.
Like,
exactly.
And he was like, oh, should I see now? And I was
well,
like,
well, it's
yeah.
like an emotional maturity that doesn't always exist. And I think it's like, a guy can have it together on paper where it's like he has a job and like he's got some cash in the bank and like he's, you know, like savings or whatever. And just like all the things that you're supposed to have at a certain point in your life to be a successful adult. But then like there's this like a lack of emotional maturity that really bums me out and freaks me out. And also like people willing to neg themselves, like people who are like, I Well, I mean, what did the guy say?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, something like that is so bizarre to me that you could just be like, oh, I have, like, I don't really have any ambition and I don't really have any shit. I'm like, don't brag about that. Yeah. Don't act like that's okay. To me, like, I'm not saying anybody should be, like, ashamed because, like, shame isn't useful either. But that kind of, like, that, like, it sounds like this other guy was too, where it's just like, oh, yeah, I don't know. I'm lost.
Well, when
I have
you're
no
speaking
idea.
To a woman, I mean, I do have a very, like, I have a very old, like, you know, rule that I apply to everything, which is like, if a guy tells you he's a loser, like, fucking believe him. Like,
well, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, people don't say they're losers, like, if they're not.
And it's weird because, but yeah, I just have a guy the other day say something similar to me. He's like, oh my God, I wish I had your ambition or drive. Like, I have no motivation to do anything. And I was like, wow, just like firing off the red flags. Like, and maybe that's not a red flag for somebody, you know, maybe like there's something, but for someone like me who, like, I want to do everything. There's so much I want to do. I have so much ambition, so much. I don't want someone who just, like, has none.
Yeah.
It's weird. Wags, unless you're a dog.
You have ambition.
Yeah, you do. You are following me all around the house.
Cute. I love you, Wags. He's Wags so is cute. Here, you guys. He's really cute. He's wearing his bandana today.
He just winked.
Oh, Wags.
Your little chihuahua
you,
smile.
Oh, you're
so I cute. Love dogs so much. I want a dog so badly.
He bites me all the time. Cool. So did
good
you
dog
bring three reasons why you're qualified to give advice today?
Oh, yes, I did.
You were so cute because you, like, sent them
sent
to
them,
us.
I sent them to you. And then I was like, wait, was I supposed to, like, bring those on, like, a notepad? So they're in there.
Everyone has their own way of doing it.
I feel like I can remember what they were. One was I raised myself. Reason number two is, I've done a comedy show about Tinder for almost 4 years now. And then related, I was Cosmo's Sex and Relationships Editor and then won a GLAAD for it, a GLAAD Award for it. So
that's
I feel
awesome.
Like that's, there's good stuff in there. There's good advice-y stuff in there.
But what was the GLAAD Award for specifically? Like, was it for a specific answer you gave?
No, I mean, for our purposes, we can say that it was.
Yeah.
For, like, a really good answer. No, it was, like, for, like, mainstream media coverage because it's, like, there really wasn't much of a space for that.
Yeah.
There. And, like, I wanted to come in and make one.
That's awesome. So you've done a lot of stuff for someone who's good. Raised herself.
Yeah.
Did you grow up in New York?
No.
Where are you from originally?
I'm from the South, so it's
okay.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Is it? I don't know. I mean, and not the South thing. I just, like,
I love the South.
I do too. And I miss my kind of ideal I would really like to live in, like, Tennessee or Georgia. That's
yeah.
kind of what I would like.
Tennessee's a little bit muggy for me. I'm a big Bonnaroo person, but I do love Memphis. I'm a huge Elvis fan. There's Elvis memorabilia everywhere. Okay.
I have a soft spot for really good country music.
Me too. Actually, really someone yesterday said to me, I know you don't like country music. And I was like,
people assume if you're, like, a weird girl, like a cool girl, you don't like country.
Like,
there's,
like,
fucking
what are
awesome
you talking
country.
About?
I don't
what
know
are
what
you
you're talking about.
I was like, my friend's band was at that Vegas thing where the shooting happened. So it's just like, yeah, dude, I fucking love country.
Yeah, there's really good country.
Just so you guys know, just to give you a visual, I'm wearing a like green velour tracksuit, a fur jacket, and then I have my baby blanket wrapped around my neck because I'm Christy Nuts. but yeah, it's like, I'm freezing right now. I think the weather just turned up here and I have to turn on the heat. I got
dead,
heat.
Yeah.
I would say a reason why I'm qualified to give advice was because I got my heating and air conditioning installed in this house this year, and there was no temperature control at all last year.
Oh, no.
Learned that lesson the hard way, and I burnt my face in my wood stove.
Oh, God.
On my birthday, and I
That's
had, like,
excellent qualifications.
Piece of my face missing, which people are always like, did you do plastic surgery to fix that? I was like, no, I just had, like, the bomb creams. Like, it really was a second degree burn
God.
Healed. Like,
holy shit.
They did think for a second, they were like, you might need to have, like, a skin graft.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Which would have, I can't even imagine if I had, like, a surgery on my face. Like, that would have freaked me out so bad.
Yeah.
But anyway, okay.
Oh, man. I mean, I knew if I known, like, those are supposed to be my qualifications, I could talk about all the places I've pooped.
Oh, like, no. I don't normally give qualifications anymore, but you can do that too if you want.
In a lot of different places than you'd think. That's all I'm saying. I don't want to brag. I've just pooped in a lot of miscellaneous areas. Anyway.
Very cool. So
bring in your questions.
Yeah, let's take some questions. Wax.
Hi, Molls, Christina, and guest. My name is Rose. I'm 22 and from Colorado. So my question is, I just went through a breakup, so I find myself single again, and I'm having the same problem half the years now. While it is, even if we aren't that old, all of my best friends are in really serious, committed relationships. So anytime I'm single, like I am again now, I find myself feeling like I'm left out of this club. They're all a part of, and there's always pressure to find someone so we can all go on double dates. Or they're less inclined to do things with me because they have their partner to always hang out with. So I am wondering if you have ever felt this way and how you've dealt with it. I love my best friends and I love spending time with them, but it's just hard when it always feel like it ends with them going home to their partner or with their partner and me to going home feeling alone. Thank you for the advice and love the pod.
Well, there's two separate issues here, and one would be that, like, you have a slight sense of envy about who your friends go home with at the end of the night as opposed to, like, you know, just being like, I go home alone and they have their boyfriends or whatever. And then there's another issue there where it's like your friends just sound like I would get new friends. Like,
that was literally the first thing I thought of, was, like, maybe get new friends. And it's like, I know you love your friends, but friends who are in a relationship and are like, we won't hang out with you unless you have it. Like, most of my friends are in relationships and, like, people invite me to hang out. Like,
yeah.
I'm not some, like, fucking leper because I don't have a partner. Like,
it's also, like, that's not cool. I hate double dating so much. It's, yeah. Like, that's my exact worst combo.
I never even like to do that
combo.
Even if I have a partner.
Exactly. That's my exact worst combo, is to be on a double date because I never know who's supposed to talk when. I don't, yeah. You know, a lot of times it's, like, the guys know each other and then it's me and then some, like, you know, girl, like, 10 years younger than me who doesn't have anything interesting to say, who kind of just met this guy recently, and I'm, like, with a serious boyfriend, and, like, or, like, they all have this, like, way back history, and I'm kind of, like, a new fringe person, and it just is, like, it really
– yeah.
It's the really uncomfortable scenario. I don't know. I don't think you should be friends with people that want you to double date.
And even if you had someone and you went out to double dates with them, exactly like what you're saying, like, it's not like it'd be great. It's not like it'd be super fun. I don't know that many people really love that. Although that said, I have had friends who've tried to set me up with their, like, other, like, primary single friend or whatever. And it's like, I get it. It's like, I guess the convenience. But then I also think it's so funny when you want to set up your two single friends, because it's like, oh, we love both of you. You guys should, like, put your genitals together. It's, like, really weird.
Yeah.
I just think that's so strange.
Well, it's just like, it's the classic conundrum of, like, yeah, exactly. Like, oh, like, I have another gay friend or I have another black friend. Like, you guys should hang out.
Totally a single friend. Yeah.
And it's like, well.
Yeah.
Just because we both happen. That's actually, like, how I wound up on that weird date with the older guy. It was like, my friend was like, you know, when you first asked me if there was anyone here you should set me up with, I couldn't think of anyone. And then I thought of this person. I'm like, yeah, I mean, these two have to meet. And, like, right. Now that we've met, I'm like,
Did we have to meet?
Like, she's like, you two are just going to, like, get on, like, a house on fire. Which, by the way, like, I hate the pressure anytime I am supposed to meet someone at the lead up of my best friend Ed does this. And, like, you know, it's adorable, but it's, like, to a fault. And we've talked about it, which is just, like, you're going to love my friend. Like, you're going to love her, okay? Like, when you meet her, you're going to, like, love her, okay? And it's like, well, now I think I hate her. So, like, now it's, like, the pressure's on. Like, I have to, like, her no matter what.
Yeah, that's really intense. Or it's just, like, you guys have so much. She reminds me of you. And then you meet them and you're like, what aspects?
Yeah.
Who is this?
How
do you see me?
No, thank you.
Yeah, it's just. And it's not even that they're necessarily bad people, but, like, I just can't see it. And also, it's just, like, I don't know. I feel like the specific ways that I am the way I am, they're, I don't know, not sound like a douche, but, like, they're more nuanced. Like, because sometimes I'll meet someone and they're like, oh my God, they're like you. They're like fun. And, like, I think I'm fun, but I'm not, like, fun.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like, I'm pretty laid back. I'm, like, a performer, but I'm, like, an introverted performer.
Totally.
I don't think I'm the type of person who's, like, wildly fun. In that way that, like, some people are, and that's great, but, like, those people make me sleepy.
I think my friends know that I'm, like, kind of unapproachable, and that, like, they're like, if they do set me up, they're like, this will work because you're kind of unapproachable. Mm. And, like, this guy's, like, gonna work through that, you know?
Right.
But in general, like, no, I mean, yeah, it's like, it's also, that is the other thing too that I'm glad you brought up, because I'm obsessed with this dynamic of, constantly being called or referred to as an extrovert, where I am, like, literally, like,
No.
No, I like, can't wait to get back into bed after we're done doing this. Like, I just literally want to be alone. And
no,
like,
same. I mean, and that's why, like, when we were talking, I was like, shit, like, I want to hang out, but I'm like, well, you know, I've got to build in time in my day where, like, I can be alone and, like, recharge. And it's not that you don't want to do other stuff, but, like, when I don't do that, I, like, fall apart on the inside somehow.
Yeah.
Like, on some level. I will, like, die a little bit.
I do. People are always say, like, how do you do that? And it's, like, because I need 5 days in bed after. Like, that's
precisely
how I do that, you know?
You pay,
like,
the price in some other way.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's not like, it's, like, I seamlessly go from, like, a podcast meetup into, like, my other big social life. Like, it's like, no, dude, like, if I just met 20 strangers and, like, had to be the adult in the room because, like, we're all technically there because of a podcast we all listen to or that I do.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot of work for me. That's, like, you know, like, making sure everyone's happy, making sure everyone's being spoken to. And, like, I do always like that point in the meetup or whatever it is, the social situation where I can just break off and go have a cigarette by myself.
Yeah. Well, that's the good thing about smoking cigarettes. I don't smoke cigarettes, so I'm like, what am I supposed to go do?
Exactly.
Maybe I'll just, like, carry a pack and fake it.
I'm supposed to be quitting soon-ish, but, like, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, it's my escape route.
It's a good out.
Yeah.
Not having that is, like,
you know, and, like, you will hear people be like, yeah, I kind of picked up smoking at work just so I could have an extra 5 minute break.
Right, which I understand 1,000%. And there are some people who, like, take a million breaks during the day. And it's like, because they'll allow for that as opposed to just, like, a general self-care thing, which is really fucked up about companies.
Yeah.
And it's like, I can't be like, I need 10 minutes to just, like, go relax outside. It's like, no. But if somebody is relaxing with a cigarette, it's like, fine.
Yeah.
Which is so weird because then it's like, because then, yeah, you have people who will, like, pick up.
It's not always fine. Like, there's definitely attitude around it too, which sucks because it's like, dude, I, like, wish I didn't have an addiction. But the reality is you hired a person who has an active addiction to nicotine.
Right. Yeah.
And
yeah.
So, like, it's been 5 hours since I've had a cigarette and, like, mom needs a cigarette. Like, I'm going to lose my damn mind.
Yeah. I guess I just meant, like, I think it's easier. It's not that they're nicer because I don't know. I've not experienced that. I have no idea. But I feel like it's more easily understood in the same way that, like, a physical need is more easily understood than an emotional need.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's all I mean.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
no,
I mean?
Totally. I think that if you just tried that, though, if you asserted it, I wonder what would happen if you just said, like, I need a fiver.
I know. Because it's like, and then it's, ugh, yeah, I know. I'm really, yeah, I'm glad I get to just kind of make my own schedule now and do that.
Yeah,
I don't have to ask anybody.
Are you full-time, like, freelance, like, doing the comedy thing, or mm-hmm. are you? That's great.
Yeah, it's always, I think, been my dream, just because I've always been somebody who just gets stuff, a lot of stuff done really fast and wants to do a lot of things. And a lot of times, you know, it's like the structure for a lot of jobs is not built that way, and I would get easily taken advantage of, you know, when it was like,
oh, forget it. Yeah.
If you work fast, those places will suck you dry. Cause I just thought, like, I mean, I know this is naive, but I really thought, like, okay, well, if I need to get these 6 things done this week, can I just, like, do them in an hour and then just, like, have the week off? I know that's not how it works.
Yeah, yeah.
But also, why? Because if you're really paying for it, so, like, a much more project based thing, like, makes more sense for someone like me who can work hilariously fast a lot of the time, because otherwise they'll just give you another 30 and then it's like your pay just gets downgraded.
Exactly. That was always my struggle too in, like, an office place, where it's just like, it's not my fault. I can do the work of 5 men mm-hmm. in a day.
I should be rewarded for that, but you're not. You're just like, oh, really? Oh, we can, like, get more out of you. And I'm like, that's not fair. That's not cool.
I don't know how I would adapt again to, like, a regular office environment. I think that I'd be slower now just because I've been out of practice for a really long time. I don't know what I would do, though.
Yeah, it depends, you know, and it depends what it is too, I guess. But, like, I've always liked environments where it's like you can kind of work ahead, or there's something you can, you know, I mean, I think what's cool about, like, a lot of more, like, comedy writers' rooms and things like that is, like, they understand that a little bit more than, like, you know, working at something a little bit more editorial, because there'll be a, like, oh, you have this work from home day, or, like, oh, you can take this day off. Like, I feel like, depending on what it is, like, in more creative environments, they kind of understand that, like, not everybody's brain works, like, 9 to 6, and then this is when I do comedy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I work there in those places.
So back to our original caller, I think you should just be straight up with your friends and say, like, dude, look, I'm not dating someone right now. I'm okay with it. I'm not going to go get a boyfriend so that I can entertain you. Like, you know, I could bring a scarecrow if you want. If they like literally just want another body at the table, then like go, you can rent a guy off Craigslist and tell him to just shut up the whole time, not touch you. Find someone on Tinder. But like, I think your friend should be not only like happy for you that you're single, because usually when someone's single, it means they've gotten out of something bad or they've never had something good.
Right. Which I think she just said she was out of a breakup. So it's like, that's you're actually in a great place and they're forcing you to look at it like it's this shitty thing when like exactly you're probably super unhappy.
Yeah. So I'm really like pro ditching these friends of yours. And I hate it when the answer just comes down to like, you should dump him or like you need new friends, because that's not an easy task in and of itself. But like for the both of us to hear that kind of response to, or kind of that, you know, your friend's response to you being single and have this gut reaction, it kind of says to me that like, I think this is universally agreed upon that this is kind of it's kind of ridiculous. Does it make any sense your friends would demand or want this for you? Like as if their life is desirable to begin with.
Because you don't know what their relationships are like, too, is the other thing. Like, you always think that all your friends are – and I've had this so many times where it's like I saw on social media or I knew through some way that it's like, oh, they have this. They look so cute. They look so happy. And then, dude, sometimes if you really crack that open, they're miserable. And, like, one of them wants to get out of it. And, like, you have no idea what those people are like or what they're telling you.
Yeah, it sucks. It's, like, it's really tough. And that kind of feeds into the last part of your question where you say, you know, you have some envy – kind of surrounding the fact that like they get to go home together after these fun nights and you don't. And
is very like, that's reasonable. Like I have that every now and again with my friends where it's like, oh, that seems awesome. But again, you don't know what they go home to.
Oh, I never have that. And it's because I love my autonomy. And I feel like that's what you need to work on. I have a body pillow that's a carrot here and I just like love it. And it makes me so happy. And I can't imagine that hanging out with a dude would make me happier. Like, I want to hug that and go to bed right now. Like, it's so great. Find the things in life that, like, make you fine on your own. And I feel like once you kind of master that art, then you can maybe begin to attract someone into your life, which is a kind of a cliche. But what I really want to, like, emphasize here is that, like, you have to kind of get your own thing going on. And it sounds like your friends might have skipped that phase. I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't ever be envious of someone in a relationship. I think at a younger time in my life I might have been, but now that I know how it really works and how much compromise there is and how much, you know, like even when it's a great relationship, there's still fighting, there's still work, and like, you know, I just have that energy for other things, you know, like I would rather put that into work, you know, as opposed to like this metaphorical idea of like work. Want to take another question? Yeah, let's do it.
Hey, Miles and Christina. I had to write this down so that I can kind of be succinct with it. But off my better judgment, I've been involved with my coworker for the past year. We both work in a middle school, and we come from dramatically different backgrounds. Like, he grew up in the inner city, and I'm from, like, the a real suburban area. So it's been like pretty fun to like be able to like you know, teach each other things like that we weren't like previously like exposed to and stuff like that. But outside of work, he can be really flaky, and I see him intermittently outside of work. Like, we've had sex probably about like 5 times, I guess. I think I probably reach out to him more than he tries to see me. He seems to always have things going on, doesn't really seem to make time for me. I've tried to completely cut ties with him several times, but I'm easily drawn back in because he's so handsome and we work very closely together. His birthday was last month, and I bought him a small gift. I told him about it, but he didn't come up with a plan to see me and celebrate his birthday. 1 week after his birthday, he was traveling with his 2 friends in our city in a tough neighborhood. A car pulled up next to them and opened fire. A bullet grazed the top of his head, and his friend who was driving the car was murdered. From what I know now, it seems to be a random shooting, but he's been out of work, just the past few weeks since this happened. I've offered to come see him several times to give him his birthday present and to bring him some food or something. He seems really receptive, but he hasn't given me a day or time. So it's kind of like the same old, thing that we always kind of, the same old situation. I want him to know that he's cared about and I want him to feel better because he's having a tough time. However, how can I also move on from him because this clearly isn't going anywhere and he really hasn't been relying on me too much. He was only, millimeters away from being murdered, so it's kind of like a hard thing to process. So my feelings have been previously really hurt by him and I want to support him during this time, but also need to let him go and I don't know how to do that. I know it sounds like he has a girlfriend, but people at work say he doesn't, so who knows. If any advice would be appreciated.
Okay, so bulleted in his head or not, he doesn't want to date you. let's just go there. That was a dramatic turn. Everyone at the table was like, what? Now you're and now he has a girlfriend. This is, first of all, classic please advise call. I was just talking about how I did my friend Eden, who's been on this pod, her Adobe radio show, which I'll link to it. But she kind of roasted you guys for the way that you call. And this was... this was prime that. That said, I really, I'm sorry that this happened to your friend and I'm sorry that you're going through some rejection and heartbreak. You can't date, this is why you can't date your coworkers. And you're going to have to, we all learned that lesson the hard way, I think, for the most part. I've dated guys at work and it's been a big mistake.
Yeah.
And,
because
it also puts pressure on the situation. It's all of a sudden you're working with someone and practically living with them and then having sex with them. And then then you go to work together. It's too much to
and that's shower if it's actually happening. Because this isn't even actually happening. Right. It's some weird secret. I don't know.
And so, I just think that this is another one of those calls that ultimately when it boils down to it, you're asking us to kind of solve the impossible, which is one of life's, one of a big life question, how do I move past someone? How do I get over heartbreak? And the answer to that is, I think, time and then being proactive. And I think that you just kind of have to get on Tinder, start to meet people.
Well, and also just realize it's so hard for me to hear this call because I have a friend who's going through something kind of similar, not with the gigantic twist at the end, but so many women, we're taught that if some guy's treating us like shit, it's this problem we have to solve. We have to find out why it is, what dark backstory it is, so that we can take on this huge emotional labor assignment. And it's not it really is and I think what you want is you almost want us to say you're right. And you're bringing in what happened to him totally makes sense. And he loves you, but he's afraid to love you because all this tragedy. And it's girl, it's nothing to do with that. Again, it's awful that all this stuff happened, but he wasn't being nice to you before.
Can I tell you when my heart broke? It's the fucking birthday gift.
The small, got him a small gift.
You're thinking of him in a way that
he doesn't care.
He doesn't want the gift. That's how little he thinks of you, which is messed up, but that's the reality of it is that this guy doesn't even want to take a small token of your affection and for his birthday, which is everyone has one. It's not a big deal to give someone a birthday present. But yeah. We've all been in that position before where it's I got you something. And it's kind of this underwhelming response on the other end. And it's humiliating. And I felt for you and I don't want to make you feel worse about it. But that level of disinterest is a bad sign.
It's everything because it's not even just because I think sometimes it's possible for people to hear bad sign and think that means it might be something bad. And it's just bad.
It's just bad.
It's the type of bad sign that there's nothing good here.
Yeah.
It has to be that black and white because right now you're looking for some sort of gray area of hope where you can be wait, there's got to be something I'm missing. And maybe I'm looking at this wrong. It's you're looking at it right. You have that validation. We're both sitting here listening to this being run. This guy, no, this is just never going to happen. He's never going to have some aha moment where he's oh my God, she's been here all along. That's not that's not your movie right now. Yeah. I wish it was, but it's just, it's really not.
And I want to remind you too that like he did go through a tragedy, but like, you know, like there are fucking assholes who get cancer. Like it doesn't make them not a fucking asshole. Like yeah, it doesn't, exactly. You know, like I'm sorry he took a bullet to the dome, but I'm glad and sad that his friend died.
He's still treating you poorly.
But like, he, I mean, like that's it. Yeah, a bullet in his head that sure didn't scare him into being a good person. So, and you know, like it just, you don't want to be the girl that's like at the hospital with the birthday gift, you really has another girlfriend. Like,
we don't want you to be that girl. Like the idea of you like giving this guy even a second more of your time. And I so know that it's not that easy, but like, dude, you just got to think about it. Like if you had a friend telling you this, all you would want is for her to just like walk the fuck out the door and never think about this guy again. Like that's all you would want for this girl. And that's. Yeah.
Yeah. So, look, I mean, we're going to probably want to hear back from you about this, but like, just like, I don't know. Like, I think that everyone has been there. I think that like, I've tried
different levels. Yeah.
Cut those things off now. Like, I don't really have the active crush in my life. I don't really have like the active sort of like want or, you know, non-reciprocal relationship anymore. Cause like, if a guy's into it, I either go for it. Or he's not into it, and I don't go for it. And I go find another shiny new toy to distract myself with. But this is also, I think, a lesson to you where it sounds like you're very young and, like, you know, physical intimacy is probably still something that, like, you know, and it could always be for the rest of your life. But I think at a certain point you kind of, like, start to realize that not every guy you sleep with is going to be your husband. And I think that you might be very, like, kind of new in that point in your life. Maybe this is, like, one of your first few sexual partners. And so it seems extra loaded. And it's just – it's a tough lesson to learn. But, like – Well,
and then it's, like – it's also, like, okay, so on that similar note, if you are someone who, like, regards sex in a way where it's, like, you want it to have that kind of intimacy, then, like, it's up to you with the next person you date – to like establish that's what they want too, because I think if it is something that means something to you, because like there are a lot of people, it's like when you sleep with someone you want it to mean something really serious, and that's totally fine, but you have to partner yourself with someone who it means that too, because you can't just like turn it into that, which is what it sounds like you're kind of trying to do, and it's like, oh, that just does not
sounds
work
like that's me.
Yeah,
but yeah, anyway, listen, call us back 323-450-7408. I'd love to hear a follow-up on this and kind of hear where you're at with this, how work is going, if he's back there, and, you know, how you can find ways for yourself to move on and get distracted with the new guy.
Or get distracted with yourself. Like, just,
I don't think she's there yet.
I know she's not, but it's like you got to think about how much energy you're giving this totally other person. And I mean, whatever, you know, maybe this is not something you can absorb right now. Maybe you'll absorb it in like 10 years. But like, you're giving so much energy to this other person that could go back to you. Just I'm planting a seed for the future. Yeah. If this is ever anything you might look back on and think about.
And like, I just want to also, I think we both want to like spare you that mortification, like that day of waking up and realizing like, oh my God, I've been pining after this guy.
For the gears. It's like, no, don't. Just because, again, it's very easy to do.
But I'm telling you that the mental image of showing up holding a birthday gift at a hospital with a guy who just got a bullet in the head and like he's still disinterested in you.
Crushing.
That is so that's going to hit you in about 15 different waves throughout your life, and it's never going to feel good.
No, you're going to think back about that, and you're going to feel so sad that you were at that point. And it's okay that you were at it, but just
like... Yeah, we've all been there. I mean, I've been there. I only know it's sad because I've done shit
exactly,
like that.
Same thing. Like, it's not
Here's
coming from
Here's my heart on a platter. And the guy's like, yeah, no, I'm not hungry. Like, yeah, it's just exactly. like, okay.
No,
okay.
We're coming at it from a, like, we have been there, and we look back and cringe on that. And so, like... Get yourself out of this, because otherwise you're just creating even more cringeworthy moments.
And it's only cringy because you're worth more than that. And like, exactly.
And someone will appreciate that. Yeah. Someone will appreciate all the things that you're doing. If someone did things like this for me in a relationship, I'd be like, oh my God, that's so adorable. And it sucks when you see people who like want to do those thoughtful, kind things and they're doing it for people who don't appreciate them.
Yeah. And by the way, we've all been there. Yeah. So, okay. Let's take another call.
Hi, Moles. And Christina and guests and all. My name's Kimmy. I'm 28. I live in Brooklyn. And I'm a Boston College alum, so I love that. And I have a little problem or question, I guess. I feel like you'd have really great advice on. Basically, I am nowhere near as internet famous as you are, but I do write for one of those millennialistical places part-time. So I have some articles on dating out there on the internet. It's a new gig too. So I'm just getting my first trolls and trying to learn what the F I'm doing. Also at the same time, and this is something I chose to do with my business partner, we have a little video production company and we're trying out a podcast right now. So it's called 51 First Dates, and the premise is that I have to go on 51 First Dates, and my friend helps me like pick people that I wouldn't normally pick because I've just fallen into a terrible habit of staying in like fuckboy or just unhealthy relationships for far too long, and I'm bad at dating, so this is an experiment. Basically, I want to know if I should be telling these guys ahead of time. We don't use names. We only talk about the first date. I've gone on 4, but it feels icky to not like have let them know, or I don't know, just any advice, even if you fucking hate this podcast idea, we already put a couple episodes out just on how to navigate being a person on the internet and if I should be telling these dudes what the fuck I'm doing. All right, thank you. Please advise. I can't stop it. It's locked.
I mean, I think from a journalistic standpoint, no, you shouldn't tell them. But like, if you like one of these guys, I mean, I don't know what to tell you. It is a little bit of a movie situation you've painted yourself into here. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't. I always wonder that. Like, every now and again, there's like someone who I talk to on Tinder Live, and I like really like them, and then you have to go through the awkward like, oh, you came up on a comedy show I do about Tinder, and then they're like, wait, so were you just screwing with me? And I'm like, no, I actually liked you, and it ends up being this like very movie moment weird thing that's ultimately usually not really worth it. But
yeah,
but I feel like, yeah, you can't tell them because then I feel like it taints the sample.
Yeah,
it just does, because then it's like these aren't real dates, and then they feel like they're a part of something weird, which they are a part of something weird, you know.
Well, they're just gonna try harder.
They're gonna try harder. Yeah, they're gonna try to be a certain way. And it's like, or you might have guys who are like, ugh, I don't want to do this if it's going to be that, which is fair, because what you're doing is you're taking something personal and making it, you know, and making it this thing that you're going to talk about publicly. So it's fair for them to like feel, because I have to acknowledge that even in mine, like even when I tell people who've like been on Tinder Live and like I really liked them, it's totally reasonable if they're like, I'm worried that you're like using this for your comedy. I know that I'm not, and that I genuinely want to find somebody. But I also totally respect guys who are like, I can't get over this like fear that like you're going to do this. I know I won't, but it's part of the thing that you're setting up right now is more precarious, I think, than maybe you know.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that also guys like are very easily humiliated in situations like that. And so they become nasty. And yeah. I think that that's an easy thing for you to avoid if you can.
Also because like, I think it depends. Like, if you're just meeting somebody on a first date, it's like, because what are you hoping to? I know what you're saying. Like, you feel like it's fair to do this, but like, are you actually? If you're actually going on dates with them and you're actually trying to give them a shot and actually trying to like them, why does it matter that you're doing? What is that the premise? I don't think it matters unless you're trying to like make them involved in it. I don't know. I don't totally understand what you're gonna talk about on the. For each episode. I don't know. It depends.
Yeah. And you know I also, I mean? Yeah, I think that like it's a pretty interesting concept in theory. I just also think that like there's not that much diversity. If there was that much diversity in these guys, I think we'd all be dating a lot more than we are. you know, it's like the idea might be like, oh, this week I'm dating a scientist. And then this week I'm dating, you know, and I don't want to shit on your podcast idea. I know that's not what you asked for. And in fact, you acknowledge that we might do that. But I just I think that you should be honest. Be honest. Honesty is the best policy. You went to Boston College, you know. Don't lie. Jesus is watching. And
I think especially if you're gonna talk, because it sounds like you're gonna talk about them on the podcast. In which case, you have to tell them.
Yes,
for sure. I think that that's what it is. If this was just something where it was like at the end, you're gonna reflect, but like you're talking about this as like an episode by episode podcast, you totally have to tell them.
Yeah, I agree
for sure. Yeah.
And I don't know, man, just like, I don't know, be nice to people out there, do whatever it is that you're doing. You seem like a sweet girl, but like, you also remember, be nice, but don't be too nice. Remember that you're trying to create some interesting content here as well. And then if you want this podcast to be successful, there needs to be some variety in it. And I think that that's where if you tell these guys, I mean, you're just not going to see anything except the variety will be each week you kind of getting bested by some fucking random
Yeah, and it's just like remembering too, like one thing that I try to always remember with Tinder Live is that like these are real people.
Yeah.
And like the people that you're going to be going out with, like they're not subjects, they're not just something to like to generate content. Like they're actual people, and like exactly to like be as kind. I try to be as kind to every single person as I possibly can, especially the ones who like seem genuinely super super nice, like even if I'm not ultimately going to date them, like they're still really good people and I want to be good to them. You don't ever want to treat anybody like, oh, this was just for this thing I was doing. Like, that's so awful.
Yeah.
That's so awful.
And you
especially
know,
if they're good, like good people.
I do go back and forth with this because I've had people say to me, like, I heard what you said about me on your podcast and I'm really hurt. And I'm like, well, no one knew it was you. And then they've said, but I knew it was me. And I go back and forth about that because part of me is like, well, you know what? It's my fucking story to tell too. And I have a right to tell my side of the story. And I have a right to share that. But I also don't want to be like abusive to anyone either. I don't want to, I don't ever, you know, especially because we record this podcast in my house. Sometimes if there's an issue with a guest, I get bummed out because I'm like, I don't want people to be uncomfortable in my home. Like, I don't want people to leave my house and be like, well, that's a like a negative place up on a hill. Like,
yeah.
I don't want anyone to feel that way. So I don't know, man. Just remember that like your podcast studio is like your literal and metaphorical home sometimes as well. And like the way that you whatever it is you're putting out there while you're doing it can kind of have an effect on your whole life and vibe.
Yeah.
But good luck. And also I hope that, I mean, I don't know how you're doing this. Like you said, you live in New York. So unless you're just retelling the story after the fact, I mean, just remember you can't legally collect audio of any of these people. And if you do, you need to let them know beforehand or after the fact, have a release signed. Just like be careful of that legal aspect of it, because I mean, I don't know how interesting it could be to hear you recap these dates by yourself.
Yeah, and I've heard a lot of, again, also not trying to shit on this, but I've heard this concept a lot. I feel like I've heard people talk about this, like, oh, I'm gonna do X number of dates. I just feel like it's something I've heard a lot of. So I think that's probably gonna be your hurdle, is exactly like making it something that's like unique in some way, because otherwise, just in and of itself, like people talking about dates, it's like, eh.
Yeah, it's why I've always avoided, like, you know, I've had that opportunity to write the book of essays where you talk about all the different guys you've dated. And like, I don't want to do that because one, like dating is not an extension of my personality. It's an experience that I've had, but like, you know, I don't want to be like, oh, guess all these guys I fucked in my 20s. Like, it's just, it's not like, I don't know. Just also avoid that angle. Cause it's like, it's not salacious. It's actually like boring, trite and easy. And like, it's very like, so just, yeah, whatever you're bringing to the table. And also, girls, can you please stop writing those books? I'm so tired of hearing about everyone you fucked. Okay, you guys, so I don't know if you remember this. And really pay attention to this because this is very, very important. I have now secured the prize that you are going to get if we get to 500 reviews by the new year. I want to get 500 reviews in the Apple Podcast Store. We're at 338 reviews right now. We're gearing up to our 500, which is... And boy, it's a fun surprise I have for you. So remember, you have a couple months left of this year to get your review in so I can give you a surprise. I probably still will give it to you even if you don't go to Apple Podcasts and review us with 5 stars and a nice review. But, you know, don't do that to me. Don't do that. All I'm asking is for a moment of your time. So it says, Jody Sweet and Sister. I'm going to read a review, by the way. Sorry. This is a great review example. Jody Sweet and Sisters Pod. Jody Sweeten is my sister, for you guys who didn't know. My friend in Africa turned me on to this years ago, and I've been a listener from episode one. I've never missed an ep. As a busy working mom, I only have room in my life for like 3 pods, and this is number friggin' one.
Yay.
Malls keeps it so real, and she gives advice we all wish we had the balls to give. I love that these babes cover a wide range of topics, from politics to penises. My favorite episode to date is when Malls got wasted and is throwing out the rawest advice ever. More of that, please. Was that the Smokehouse app?
Yeah, I think so.
What was I saying that's during that? People was going to just be like, I'm listening to the Smoke. I can't go back and listen to that. What was I saying? Just, I'm probably just calling. I'm like, you sound like a loser. Like, probably a lot of that. Probably a lot of that. I don't respond well to neediness in a person's voice. You guys, thank you so much for all the reviews you have left up until this point. All 388 of you. Remember, 500 by 2018. And, okay, Christina just corrected me. I thought it was 388. It's 338. Where the fuck are you guys? I thought you guys were coming out, but apparently not. Listen, I was going to say something to you, but I forgot before Christina interrupted me. Sorry. Surprise, no. I lost it. And that's a lesson on why you don't interrupt people. I don't remember what it was now. priceless words of wisdom gone forever. If I remember it later, I'll tell you. Africa, penises. I don't know. I don't know. Let's take another call.
Hey, Malls. It's Lizzie from Minnesota. I am 27, and I started listening to your podcast about a year ago, and I just love them, and I love you. And I need some advice about a recent situation in my life. So I'm at a point in my life where I do want someone to be with me. I want to be in a relationship. And so I've been putting myself out there, and I've been on a few dates with this one guy who seems really great. He's got his life together. He's got a job. He's got it all. And so we've been on a few dates. And on our third or fourth date, we were back at my place, and it was clear things were going to start getting sexual. And then he stopped me and he goes, "Hey, I really want this to happen, but I don't want to be made out to be the bad guy if this doesn't work out." And I don't know if this just means I'm a hookup, like if I'm a booty call. He's still, I mean, we did end up sleeping together, and then we still talk and we still hang out, but I don't know if, I don't know if he's just dated a lot of crazy girls who think that if they sleep together once, then they're married or what. Yeah, I'm just a little confused about that. So I'd love your advice. Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, that's what that means. Like, we both had that reaction. Yeah, when a guy says, like, "Hey, let's sleep together, but just so you know, like, anything that happens after this, like, I don't want to be held accountable for it." Yeah. That's him saying that it's a hookup.
But also, like, I really have to call out the first thing I heard in that call was just such a tragic thing of, like, when she was like, "He has a job, he's got it all." And I was like, "Oh my God, you're impressed like guy just has a job?"
I know.
And I'm not judging you, but like, we all do that. We're just like, "Oh my God, he's employed, he's the perfect man." It's like, Jesus Christ, that's so fucking low, that bar's so low.
Right. I mean, like, I would hope that there's a couple extra qualities you're tacking onto there, but like,
probably, but maybe not.
I mean, like, let's like be careful. So, like, when we're wording things, like, let's, you know, not just if you're calling please advise, but in life, like, if you're wording things, know that that's how that comes across. And when you are just like, "He has a job," like, you're gonna need to do better than that if you want to convince the world that whoever you're dating is interesting.
Worth your time.
Or, yeah, yeah, like, you know. Mm-hmm. You know,
he's got a head and a body.
He's exactly. Incredibly.
He's alive.
Exactly. Ugh,
what can't he do?
Totally. So
sounds like a lot of things.
I know.
Can't do.
I don't know. Like, I also think that, like, if you want to be in a relationship, you have to get this guy out of your life, because this isn't going to fly with the type of person that, like, you know, I know that you're like, "I can still talk to someone I had sex with, and I'm like not one of those girls who wants to like marry him after
right.
sex."
But it's taking up your energy.
Like, it's taking up your energy. Yeah. And yeah. it's going to boil down to a situation where you do meet someone you like, but you have this
guy.
Yeah,
they're going to be like, "Who the fuck is this dude?"
Yeah.
Who you only describe as, "He has a job."
Right.
Like, "Well, I fuck this guy. He has a job."
Yeah.
Please,
you just
stop
don't
talking to him.
Need a lot of extras hanging out in your life.
No.
When you're trying to progress.
No.
I apologize, though, because I feel bad. I don't know why. For some reason, I feel bad for this caller. The bullet in the head girl, I didn't feel bad for. But, I mean, like, I did a little bit. But, like, for some reason, I just feel bad for her. I don't know why.
Well, I think
Let's unpack that.
Again, it's that looking for – there is a common theme there with that looking for the secret thing they're not telling you instead of just taking it at face value. Like, your hunch was that this was him being like, look, this is a hookup, that's it. And you like wanted to believe that there was more there. And they, and I will say that like, it really does kind of suck when guys say it in that specifically vague way. Yeah. And I'm not saying that it's that you don't reach a point in your life where you're like, oh, I know what that means. You don't have to be specific. I know what it means.
Yeah.
But for girls like you who are like, which this is so not a judgment, but for girls like you who aren't sure, because like I had a point where I didn't, I wouldn't have known what that meant maybe, or I did know, but I wanted it to be more.
Yeah.
It is a shitty thing to do because you were like, you chose to believe that like, well, it could mean many things when it really could mean literally one thing, and it was the thing that it did mean, which is that it was a hookup.
Yeah, and also I want to say that that's like a really shitty moment for him to have brought that up, and I think that that's a like kind of a callous move and also kind of tricking someone into like, yeah, like once you guys are like making out and it's hot and heavy and then
right,
like,
and you're already like, you're turned on. Like the thing is like, we always talk about like that like guys are the only ones who can get blue balls. Like, have I made some stupid decisions because I was already turned on and then like someone was like, oh, here's a new piece of information. I was like, whatever, whatever, just go down on me. Like, yeah, that happens.
Yeah.
So like he told you at a moment where like your body was probably like, sure, whatever. Let's just do this. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And
that's,
like,
that's not great.
I think that like that's something you should be looking for moving forward. Like, is someone who's honest in an appropriate moment. You know, I try to be very like forthcoming, and that's something I've worked on a lot as I've grown up and like been dating, is just like, I really, you know, I really try to make a point of saying, like I did with the guy that I blew off at your show. Like, yeah. Look, like, I really like you. I want to keep you in my life. I don't know if that's fair or if you're interested in it, but like,
but you've
I
been
can't
clear
be a girlfriend.
About the parameters. And then this way they're. And also, so that's the other thing.
And he was totally cool with it. And like, you know, like, has been a good friend. Like, I don't think it's going to be a weird situation where it's like, when you tell a guy something like that and then like they low key like harbor some sort of aggression
or
something. Look out for that too.
But that's the other thing. Oh, there was something I was just about to say about the about the held responsible thing. Like, here's the thing about that. I will say that most guys who say I don't want to be held responsible, it's because historically they've not handled these situations well. Like,
right.
And I say that because like, okay, so like you telling this guy all these things, you didn't have to say I don't want to be held responsible because you were super upfront. So you know you can't be quote unquote held responsible.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? If you're behaving in a way that's appropriate and you're really being direct with somebody, then you don't have to say covert things like I don't want to be held responsible.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And you know what? Like, that's unfair because you look at it and you say, well, I'm not one of those women that thinks that because we had sex, we're getting married. Well, like, is he one of those men that has driven a lot of women to the fucking brink because he sent mixed messages
well,
and all of a sudden
saying.
Now she's a crazy shrew?
Well, and that exactly. And that's such another thing to remember, is because so many women, and I'm sure men do this on some level too, but it's like when guys are talking about their exes, they want to be like, oh, well, that was her and she's nuts and I'm great. And there's misogyny there. Like, you can't look at all of his exes because let's be honest. All of his exes, it is so possible that they have all been in the position you're in right now and that you would get along with those girls and be friends with those girls.
Yeah.
So you can't think that you're special and they're crazy. That's just like misogyny that you've learned. That's a whole other thing.
I've actually made a point of like befriending exes.
Me too.
Because
often you have, you're like all good people who were wronged by the same person.
Exactly.
And like, it's not like, oh, those were crazy girls. They didn't know what to give you. No, stop. That line of thinking. I'm not trying to come down on you, but I'm just trying to make you realize that the other women, you know, don't jump to the assumption that like you're so different than they are. They could have been exactly like you.
Well, this kind of like feeds into my social like campaign that I've just been like, you know, talking about and putting out into the ether, and like I'm not like running a, there's no hashtag for it or anything, but like we really have to stop calling each other crazy. Not just women against other women or men against women or whatever. We really have to stop using that word to describe someone who's different or having a different emotional reaction or experience than you. It's so dismissive. It's so short-sighted. It's ignoring a lot of bigger problems. And it's just like literally assuming that one person is the authority on mental health. And I have to be honest, a lot of the times the people in my life that I've heard describe someone as crazy aren't necessarily people that I really respect their opinion anyway. I'm like, well, you're kind of like an artless loser. So why do I care if you think so-and-so is crazy? Like, maybe they're just, they think originally or they're different, or, you know, they had an emotional reaction that was different than yours and you deem it psychotic or something. But like, you know, maybe
they've
like
had a different life than you. They've had a hard life. I mean, that's like, These are all things that are not everybody.
Or maybe you've had a really simple life.
Or maybe you've had a really simple life and not everybody comes from the same background.
Yeah. So stop calling each other crazy. Don't let another, like, don't, yeah, just know that, like, you know, I talk a lot about, like, girls in their 20s that they want, they demand the relationship. And I don't mean that to say that, like, there's something wrong with girls in their 20s. I just mean that I think that, like, it takes a little bit longer to kind of figure out, like, I think a lot of girls walk through their 20s trying to force a relationship because that's what we've been taught is normal and good. But it's also a lot of that reaction and reactiveness comes from being treated like shit and being led on and being made to feel crazy.
Yeah, it's coming from a place of like wanting to stand up for yourself and stand up for your needs and set boundaries. And I think that that's a good thing. But if you're at a place where like they weren't already respecting those needs and boundaries, it's like, and that's, there's nothing else you can do. Like also, saying in a firm way is probably not going to change everything.
Don't believe anything a guy says about another girl ever.
Genuinely.
I just tweeted once, like, if there are any girls out there I've ever believed something about you because a guy told it to me, I am so sorry. And like, yeah. It's true. I'm so sorry. Like, I really am. Like, cause there are plenty of women that I've written off or been like, ooh, God, be careful around that one. Because some fucking guy, probably to get in my pants, has told me that she's insane. And like,
totally.
That it just is, it's not a good look. It doesn't feel good.
And then you look back and you were like, oh no, the guy sucked and the girl was probably rad.
Yeah. Or, you know, now I'm the crazy one in the narrative.
Well, exactly. It's like, you're just going to get replaced. This is just like a chair and like the next person's going to be in it and the next person's going to be in it.
Yeah. So. Anyway, I think that's pretty much it for episode 147. We didn't lean out of here because she's a busy gal. This is you are doing show. Are you doing more shows in on tour right now, or are you wrapped up for tour right now?
One more in New Haven, Connecticut, a week from today, I believe it's New Haven, Connecticut. And then
what's the date on that?
I think it's November 11th, which would make sense because today's the 4th.
Yeah,
yeah, math. And then I'm every single month in New York City at Littlefield. And the next one is November 18th with Janine Garofalo, which is going to be really exciting.
That's so exciting. She's like my hero, yeah. So. She's such a hero.
She's such, oh,
how
God,
did you
yeah.
meet her?
She's everything just from doing stand up.
Yeah.
Yeah. We've done a couple stand up shows together. And every single time we do stand up together, I'm like, oh, no big deal. Like, you're one of the biggest reasons I do stand up. This is cool. This
yeah.
is chill,
she's so the best. I love good. Her. You guys, dude. Thank you so much. Lane, people can buy you at Tinder, just doing the show Tinder Live. Look it up. She's touring. She's going to be touring. Did you say internationally?
Yeah. We're looking at international dates and stuff. I think that are coming up soon. So
who's
I don't know what they are
touring company?
Yet. It's Madison House.
Okay, cool. And people can find you on Twitter at it's, what is it?
Hello, Lane Moore.
Hello, Lane Moore.
Yeah.
And That's it, I think. Anything else you want people to be looking out for or checking out?
I have a book coming out next summer called How to Be Alone with Simon & Schuster that's like in progress now, and yeah, a whole bunch of other things, but yeah, that one's good.
That's great. And Christina Lopez, thank you for generously giving over the mic because I don't know where the mic is. That's really weird. The last thing I remember recording were ads at the kitchen table, or did I do it at my desk? I don't know. A lot of things have changed here this week. You guys, I'm Molly MacLear. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Molls. Please go leave a review on Apple Podcasts with 5 stars and some nice words, because if we get to 500 by the new year, which I think we can do, I have a really fucking dope surprise for you guys that I will give you.
Do it.
Thank you guys. Have a great week. Talk to you soon.
Bye.